appreciate y'all giving me this opportunity to come up here and stand behind this pulpit and preach this morning. The Lord has truly blessed me. I just want to say thank you to Preacher Brian. A lot of y'all, I don't know if he told you or not, but he actually married me and my wife. Her papa can't read, and he was the next guy that I wanted to have the opportunity to do that for us. And I really look up to him. He's meant a lot to me through the years. Growing up at Galilee, he was there a couple years when we were there, and I just really appreciate him and his family and the role models that they've been to me. This morning I'll be reading my text out of Luke chapter 1. If y'all want to stand in reverence of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, when you turn there, just say amen for me. Alrighty. And I guess I should get my notes out here. It'd be kind of hard to... Alrighty. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail there that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind with manner of solution that should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in the womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Amen. What's up there? Dear Lord, thanks for today. Thanks for just giving me this opportunity to stand up here today, Lord. But Lord, I can't do nothing without you. I ask you just come down and help me, Lord, as I give this message that you gave me, Lord. Just ask you if there'll be somebody here today that needs to hear something, Lord. You just give it to me to say. Ask you just help me this morning, Lord. Just thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, this is what I want to bring forth to you. This story, we've all heard it probably a couple times this year already. But I want to stop for a moment and break down this point right here. What did Mary do so good that God was willing to use her? You see, here's the thing about Mary. Mary was just this nobody in this little town that nobody knew of. If you've ever studied, you know that Nazareth was so small that there was literally roads that would go around Nazareth. People didn't go through Nazareth. They went around it. When Philip said to Nathanael that he had found Christ, and he asked Philip where he was, and he said, Nazareth, this is what Philip said, or Nathanael said about it. Philip findeth Nathanael said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? So here's this little young lady who nobody knows of, who's from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, obviously, God knew, hey, here's something where nobody's going to be looking at, something that nobody knows of. I'm going to go there, find somebody, use her, and that's who's going to birth Jesus. So why was God willing to go there and find Mary? What was Mary so known for? Well, for one, here's the thing. Mary had set her example so strong that God knew, hey, after Jesus is born, Mary is not going to turn away and make her name look bad. Because if Mary would have had Jesus and then went south, guess what would have happened? The name Jesus would have had that on top of it. I'm thankful that my parents wasn't like that also. I'm thankful that my parents knew, hey, if Tim's going to have a good life, I better have a godly example for him. They took me to church at a young age and they stuck with it. My parents are still in church today. Amen. And I'm thankful for having parents like that. That's what God wanted for Jesus. Jesus needed parents that was going to take him to church and have the example to go with them. Mary also, being from the tribe of Judah, I don't know if y'all know what the name Judah means, but Judah stands for praise. See, Jesus came from a tribe of praise.
Amen. That's right.
But here's my 3 points. I want to get on to my 3 points. I just want to kind of give you a background of Mary real quick before I get into it. But why was Mary good enough to be used to carry Jesus? And when I'm saying this, I want you to think of this. Why are we good enough to have Jesus in us? As a Christian, that stands for Christ in us. So just like Mary had to carry Jesus as a baby, everywhere we go, we're carrying Jesus with us if we've been saved. We are an example of the church when we go out into this world today. Number one, my point number one, very common, she was a clean lady. She was a virgin. In Luke 1:27, it says, to a virgin exposed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. You see, not only was she a virgin, but she was so clean in her lifestyle that she was highly favored by God. I want to make sure that I live a life where I'm highly favored by God. There's no way to go out into this world and live a life free of sin. There's no way. We're all sinners. We're going to sin when we go out into this world. But the thing is living in sin and having sin come into you is two different things. You see, every single night when I bow my head, I make sure I ask the Lord to forgive me for my sins, because there's no way that I can go and live without sin. But the thing is I'm not sitting there and just continuing to sin and sin and sin and purposely sin, and I'm okay with it. I had a person tell me a couple weeks ago, we was talking about living in sin, and they said, well, everybody sins and our God will forgive them for it. Well, the thing is you have to be willing to give up that sin in order for Him to forgive you. You can't just sit there and constantly live in sin. You see, this world wants to preach to you, well, we have a forgiving God. He's not going to forgive you if every single day you go out here and you hit this bottle, or you shoot up some kind of drugs, or you go out here in some kind of lustful attitude. God's not going to forgive you if you're constantly meditating in that sin. And here's another thing. You can't go to church and say that you feel the Lord upon you if you're constantly outside of Sunday or in that sin. You see, the Lord wants a clean vessel. And that's what Mary was offering. Mary was a very clean vessel. And see, a couple weeks ago, every Sunday we have a couple people come over and hang out with us. And so we was hanging out and we was talking about my daughter Everly. And I was telling her, there's some things that I don't want my daughter to take part of. And one of the things was body piercings. I don't like that. I don't think it's biblical. It's just, I don't like it. And so this girl decided to go on and say this. She said, well, I think in today's world, they're going to know about it. And they're going to have their opportunity to go into it. But here's the thing. I want to live an example to where my daughter don't want to go into the world. You see, there is an option. That because those options are out here don't mean everybody's going to take part of that. We're living in a society today where people in church believe no matter what kind of lifestyle you live, they're bound to go into the world. You don't have to be bound to go into the world. It is okay to stay pure and clean. Right. Mary was able to stay pure and clean, so Jesus was able to go through her to be born. God was able to use Mary because of that. See, my daughter can be used. She's not going to be a preacher. That's not her role. That's not meant for God to appoint a woman to be a preacher. But she can still be used. She can still be a light when she goes out into this world. My name is on my daughter. Whatever my daughter grows up to do, it will be attached to me. Just like Preacher Brown, when he got up here, he said this. That is Preacher Gravely's granddaughter. When we live in Elgin, South Carolina, which is about 2.5 hours from here on the outskirts of Columbia. Well, it was probably about 3-4 months after moving down there. We had Dalton, which is her brother. He was 14 at the time, so he was just now kind of figuring out what was going on. And we was at a restaurant eating, and she had on a shirt that was talking about Jesus, and we were sitting there eating. A guy walked up to us and was talking to us. And he said, y'all are Brother Gravely's grandkids now, ain't you? And so we told him, yeah, we was talking, and he said, how does he know my papa? Well, it's this. His papa has done made his name for himself, and now it's been passed on to his grandkids. And you see, that's how we are with Jesus. Jesus passed through Mary, so how Mary lived was on Jesus. How we live because of we are being saved is on to Jesus' name. If you're going to go out here and live in sin, and you're going to say that you're a Christian, this world is going to look at you and say, well, if you're a Christian living like that, well, I don't need Him to be saved. You see, so it matters that you are clean if Jesus is going to live inside of you.
Amen.
My second point outside of being clean is this. She was found faithful. You see, if you look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, it says that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so here, you're like, well, how does that say that she's faithful? She didn't give up on the task. She knew that, hey, she was having Jesus. Her baby was going to be the King of all kings. So why in the world is she going to have to go and have her baby in a barn? Why has she not got this nigh set up in this palace with every doctor that she could, known the man that knows how to take care of these babies? Why is she going out here with no doctor, nobody to help her, no medicine, none of this high-tech stuff that they probably had back in because, you know, they had probably the best technology ever out then. But instead, they had to go to a barn and put Jesus in a manger. You know, I know many people who go from having everything to nothing, and then all of a sudden, because everything's going wrong in their life, they're like, well, is Jesus even with me? Oh, well, I have all these challenges to go through. Where's Jesus at? I've been serving Jesus all my life. As soon as the road starts getting a little rough, they're like, well, I must not be doing right because if Jesus was really with me, I wouldn't be facing the situations that we're facing today. You see, let me give you a little story about me and my wife. When we moved to Columbia, we had it made. We had it figured out. We're going to go down there. We're going to be 2.5 hours from my family. We're okay. We got this under control. You know what I figured out? We didn't have that under control. There came a time where we hit a situation where it was like, okay, what are we going to do? Because now we're 2.5 hours from my parents, so I can't just run to them and say, hey, Dad, Mom, or can't run to preacher grab and say, hey, preacher, we've got this situation. What do we do now? We had to fall on our face and say, Jesus, I'm going to trust that you know what you're doing and you're going to take care of this. That's what Mary had to do. She had to know, hey, the angel didn't tell me that I was going to get to the nicest place. The angel didn't tell me that everything was going to be smooth sailing and I wasn't going to have nothing to worry about. Only thing they told Mary was, hey, you're going to carry Jesus and you're going to have Jesus. Guess what? That's all that we was told is, hey, I'm going to be with you. He didn't say, take up my cross and carry it and it's going to be an easy walk. He said, just take up my cross or take up your cross. So when we go out in this world, we're going to be faced with situations. But the fact is where are you going to put your faith? Where are you going to go with your faith? Are you going to keep with trusting in Jesus? Or are you going to back away and say, well, I've went this far and this is where He's taking me, so I'm done with Him. Mary was willing to stay on track. Mary knew where she was going. Mary wasn't going to give up the walk. And I get that you're probably sitting there thinking, well, she's pregnant. What was she going to do? She had to have the baby. But the thing is that she could have very easily said, listen, I threw up my hands. This should have been a whole lot easier than what it was. She could have just walked away from it and said, well, He can raise Himself if He's really from God. He's that powerful. But she didn't. She stayed with it. She knew. Never once do you read the story where she started to have a panic attack because they couldn't find nowhere to go. When Joseph said, let's go up to the barn, she didn't say, oh, no, I'm not going to that barn. It's unsanitary. Ain't that the new word today is unsanitary? But not Mary. Mary went up there, she got in the stable, she had Jesus, and everything went smooth because she stayed faithful. There's a lot of times that me and my wife, we have to stay faithful in things that has to happen in life. Just like everybody else, there's going to be situations that come up where you have to put your trust in God. I remember growing up, when we got ready to get married, we got married at the age of 18. I remember coming up here and having counseling, and one of the things he told us, he drew up a picture, and I tell this to everybody. I don't know if you remember doing this or not, but he said somebody told him this, and he drew three dots, and he said, this is y'all right here at the bottom, and he said, this is Jesus up here. If you want this to work, you've got to get your dots to get up there and not down here. And that is so true. I found that true every morning. If the Lord is not in our marriage, we wouldn't be where we are today. We've been through so much together, but it's all been easy sailing knowing that Jesus is in control. And that's how it was with Mary. Mary knew if everything was going to stay true, that she couldn't lose her faith halfway to it. Here's another thing is that situation came at the very end. Do you know how many people today will let their light burn out at the very end because of something? I want to make sure with my walk that my light burns all the way through. I heard a preacher say one time, I don't want to just run a marathon, I want to run a Greek marathon. I don't know if y'all know what a Greek marathon is, but it's this. You start with a light, a candle, and you run that whole race with that candle burning. And it's not who finishes first, but it's who finishes first with the candle still burning. I don't want to finish this race with a candle that's not burning for Jesus. Everywhere I go, I want people to know who I stand for. I can't stand going out and thinking, man, what would happen if I was to stop letting my light shine for Jesus? I remember when that girl said that about the world. I went to bed that night, and I was broken because this is what I started thinking about. It's my daughter. I got another daughter that's going to be born in May. I said, what do they look at me and see? Because I love sports. I'm a sports fanatic. I mean, I don't like the Tigers, so I know I'm in the wrong area this morning. But I love me some sports. But here's what I went to bed thinking. Does my daughter know me as somebody that loves sports and loves Jesus? Because I'd rather know that my daughter knows that her daddy loves Jesus and will follow Jesus because of her daddy than to follow after sports because of her daddy. I want to be able to look back and say my family followed Jesus because of the light that I was shining in the pathway for them. Because I couldn't do nothing without Jesus or God, and I know that growing up my daughter's going to have it 10 times worse than I had it growing up. And I know how bad it was for me versus how bad it was for my daddy, so I know it's only going to get worse. So if she don't grow up to trust in Jesus, then what it's going to be. So I have to make sure if Jesus is going to live in me, I'm going to stay faithful with Him. My last point here is this. Mary was clean. Mary was faithful. And last but not least, this was one thing about Mary. She continued to follow Jesus no matter what. John chapter 19 and verse 25, this is what it says. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, His mother, and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. This is what I want to bring out at this point. This is probably one of the hardest things for Mary to have to do, is to stand at the foot of the cross and watch her son be crucified. I know Everly, I can't stand to see her get hurt, much less to think that I'd have to sit there and watch her be crucified knowing I can't do nothing to it. But you know what? I don't think Mary wanted Jesus to come down, because Mary knew for the task to be finished, Jesus had to hang on that cross. She knew when she had the baby, when she had Jesus in the barn, that she knew that it was going to finish on the cross. She knew from the day that she signed up for the task where it was going to finish. But she was willing to follow Him there. She didn't stay back and say, oh no, I can't see it happen. I'll break and cry and it's going to take everything I have, so I'm just going to stay at home. She wanted to be at the foot of Jesus when He was hanging there. And that's where she was. She went to see. She followed Him to the cross. That's what we need to do today, is follow Him to the cross. That's where we need to be, is at the cross. That's where we need to get to, is following Jesus. But here's the thing, is she didn't give up on her task following through Christ. You see, today we have a lot of people that just fall short of it. They don't want to stay faithful. They don't want to go through the trials and temptations. Jesus ain't going to go know what sends you nowhere that He's not already been. And we all know that. I remember when you first started coming out to take the church, I know it's probably hard for you to think from moving over there to over here. I remember hearing the news. But here's the thing, is I'm sure that you had full peace and you knew no matter what the transition was, it was going to be easy because God was in it. You probably didn't have everything in your mind of how it was going to work out, but it was there. I remember the day that I went home and told my wife that we was going to pack our bags and move 2.5 hours from our family. She was pretty much raised by her grandparents, who are 80 years old now. Like he was saying this morning, her dad died when she was kind of younger, and So her grandparents had a big role in her life, and I remember going home and saying, I don't think my wife's going to listen to anything I say about moving 2.5 hours. I told her from the get-go when we first started talking I wanted to move to Pigeon Forge, which is about 2.5 hours from here. And so now I'm telling her that we're going to move 2.5 hours the other way. And I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to convince her to listen to me about moving 2.5 hours? But you know what I did is I went home and I told her, babe, I've got the urge to move to Columbia. And she said, well, let's go look at it. That's the first thing she said, well, let's go look at it. You know what that tells me? Is the Lord has already told her, hey, you're going to have to follow what He says because I've already told Him what to do. Just like Mary knew, the Lord had already told Mary that Jesus had to go to the cross. So we knew what we had to do. And because of that move, I've become so much closer to where I need to be and following Jesus. You see, there's going to be times where you have to go into situations where you may sit there for a minute and say, I don't know if that's going to be easy. But He's not going to send you somewhere that He's not already been to take care of for you. So here's my thing is if we want to be more like Mary, we need to make sure we're living a clean life, we're living a faithful life, and we're willing to follow Jesus wherever He sends us. You see, today's world, they're going to try to tell you that you don't have to drop everything in your lifestyle to follow Jesus. But like I heard this morning, there was a preacher on the radio saying, if you could get to heaven with just a handshake, there wouldn't have been no cross. There would be no need in Him hanging and giving up His life if you could go out here and hand out tracts and get to heaven. There wouldn't be no need for a cross if you could just go out here and just live your life the way you want to live it and just be good, don't kill nobody. But that's not the way to heaven. We have to make sure we go through the cross. That means there's going to have to be sacrifices that we have to give up. There's pleasures in this world that we have to stay away from. But that means we can make those little sacrifices to get the rewards in the end. Just like I told that lady, when we was talking about it, is I know for a fact that there's a chance that my daughter goes south when she gets old enough to do it. But I'm not going to raise my daughter to think that I have no chance of raising her to understand that there's a whole other path. There's a right path and a wrong path, and you don't have to go down the wrong path to get to the right path. You can stay on the righteous path your whole life and just make the best life out of it. I'm not going to tell her that if she chooses the wrong path, there's no way back to the right path. But I will tell you this, is I'm not going to give up hope that my daughter isn't going to stay on that righteous path. My daughter's going to make mistakes in her lifetime. I know for a fact that nobody's perfect. But I'm not going to say that she's going to go out here and she's going to taste of alcohol or she's going to know what it feels like to have drugs inside of her. But I will pray every morning and every night over my daughter that she don't have to live that lifestyle. I want to be the example and let God use me to be worthy. I want to be able to die. When I'm on my deathbed, this is what I want to hear, is I want to know that I was highly favored by God because of the life I lived. I want to say this morning, is don't give up on God now. Live your life to be towards Mary. I didn't want to bring that message out this morning and say we're worshiping the old Holy Mary, because Mary's not the key of the story. The key of the story is Christ Jesus, who died for my sins. If it weren't for Jesus, there would be no Mary. You see, Mary, like I said at the beginning, Mary was a nobody until Jesus. I was a nobody until it was Jesus. Once I accepted Jesus, I went from a nobody to a somebody. My name was recorded in the book of the Lamb, and I finally had my name on something. And I'm just thankful that Jesus died for my sins, and now I'm going to live my life to be an example for Him. I want to be able to be used just as much as anybody. I called my preacher up just a couple weeks ago, and I said, Preacher, I said, when I go out in town, I said, I want people to look at me and recognize me as a preacher for Jesus Christ, a servant. I said, I don't want to be no royalty. I want to be a servant to Jesus. And that's how we ought to be. We're nobody. Every single one of us in here, we're worthy of nothing compared to Jesus. But because of Jesus, we can be the richest people in the world. There's no money that can buy you into heaven. But Jesus' blood can cure it. Preacher, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for the opportunity to stand up here.